At Davos recently, Al Gore said that we're at a crisis because of climate change. He's said this for years, of course. He said that we are boiling the oceans. Is the Earth really at risk the way Al Gore or Greta Thunberg or John Kerry say it is? Gregory Wrightstone is a geologist with more than 35 years of experience researching and studying various aspects of the Earth's processes. He has written a classic book called Inconvenient Facts, The Science Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know. Gregory Wrightstone joins us now. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Greg, it's great to have you back on the program. Are the oceans boiling anywhere in the world? I mean, other than maybe an occasional situation where it's like at a volcano or something.
Well, not hardly. I think we're about 130 degrees Fahrenheit shy of boiling. And since they're the oceans, the sea surface temperature, the SSTs, only increased by about eight tenths of a degree since 1900. We're going to be a little while before they can meet that boiling point. So no, they're not anywhere near boiling. But what's interesting, if you look at where the greatest diversity of ocean life is, it's in the areas that are the hottest sea temperatures. It's called the Coral Triangle, over near Indonesia and Malaysia. It just teems with life. And again, it's much, much hotter than where the Great Barrier Reef is. So the great diversity of life in the oceans is actually where it's the hottest.
Why is there such a big deal about climate change? And the thing that's so amazing is that in some ways, climate change could literally threaten, let's say, the integrity of the nation. And what I mean by that is if certain laws are passed and then imposed on the rest of the world, that could undermine, say, the American Constitution. Or am I overstating things like the way Al Gore
said? You're not overstating.
Okay.
You're not overstating at all. There's so many ways we can look at this, from the economic consequences of unneeded climate credits and carbon taxes and the rest that will drive up electricity costs for everybody, and which drives up energy costs, and all the goods and services will escalate as well because of self-imposed taxes they want to do in order to drive renewable energy sources to the front. There's other thing we're looking at here. Just take a look at, they want to ban nitrogen fertilizer. It's this, again, they have this inordinate fear of carbon dioxide, the demon molecule, they call it. We call it the miracle molecule. And now nitrous oxide, or N2O, is the next demon molecule in the pantheon of demon molecules for the climate alarmists. And we just published here at the CO2 Coalition a paper on nitrous oxide and climate change. Dr. Happer and Wingarden calculated we wouldn't see a doubling in nitrous oxide for over 400 years. And even when it does double, the warming effect would be 0.06 of a degree Celsius, anything that's measurable. But yet they want to ban nitrogen fertilizer. It might be responsible for up to 40% of crop growth since 1950, is the introduction of nitrogen fertilizer. We saw what happened to Sri Lanka when they banned fertilizer. It was an agricultural economy that collapsed within 9 months. And that's what they want for us here. It's crazy. They want to ban 50% of the farms in the Netherlands because of this unwarranted fear of nitrous oxide. It's crazy.
Wow.
But the same thing, we can look at CO2 to see they're doing the same thing and demonizing it.
So there really is a struggle, but it's so strange too, because I have intelligent relatives that I talk with, and they're intelligent on virtually every, you know, issue, but they've totally bought hook, line, and sinker the whole climate change crisis mode. Could you define, I mean, just some basic terms here. First of all, what do we mean by Davos, and what is their goals, and what is the problem with the issue of so-called climate change?
Well, they meet yearly in the hope of forestalling climate crisis. And they've been meeting now for, 30 years? Nevertheless, CO2 continues in its inexorable rise year in and year out. The shutdown and lockdown in 2020 barely affected CO2 level rise. And so anything they're trying, carbon dioxide is going to keep increasing, and mainly because China, for the most part, and India to a lesser extent, continue to mine and use coal as an electricity generation source. China's just going gangbusters, increasing electricity generation from coal. And so our CO2 levels will keep increasing. Their contention is that CO2 as a greenhouse gas is driving temperatures to temperatures that are unusual and unprecedented on a scale of thousands of years. And that's just not factually correct. But I'll tell you, if you want to talk to those people, one thing I've found to be very effective has been something I've been doing recently. In Davos, there was a lot of talk about climate reparations and island nations that were going to be underwater. And in fact, if we look at it, the most at-risk island is the island chain, island nation of the Maldives in the southern Indian Ocean. Its highest point is 15 feet above sea level. And they're claiming that the Maldives, the Seychelles, Tuvalu, these other island nations will be underwater within a decade or two. And it sounds plausible. And all of your relatives you say are otherwise smart probably believe that's true. Well, let me tell you something. Just when you talk to them, tell them the geologist you just talked to told you that 20,000 years ago, the Maldives and the Seychelles were also just above sea level. And in that 20,000 years, sea level has risen. I hope you're sitting down. Sea level's risen 400 feet. So we had 400 feet of sea level rise, yet here we are with the Maldives just above sea level. And how can that be? But they're saying, well, we're expecting 8 inches of sea level rise by the year 2100. So what they're telling you, and want you to believe, is that 400 feet of sea level rise didn't overwhelm the islands and put them underwater, but the next 8 inches will. That's just, it boggles the imagination. And the reason these islands keep growing along with sea levels, a geologic process known as accretion. And these islands just grow. It's a fact. They grow along with the sea level. And there are some islands that don't. We know they're called seamounts. That, you know, if you're piloting a submarine, you need to steer around those or you're in for trouble. But most of these islands have grown along with sea level. And I think it's a fascinating story to tell your friends that believe in this notion of crazy climate change.
How could in any way the notion, the crazy notion of climate change, the way you just worded it, how could climate change alarmism impact negatively the Constitution or in any way undermine it at all?
Well, if indeed, I don't know the answer to that.
What I mean is, in other words, let's put it this way. How could some concoction or some scheme on the part of these climate change alarmists, who really, frankly, a lot of them have a lot of power and a lot of money and they're in high places, how could anything that they do and they come up with some sort of worldwide plan that would then in any way undermine constitutional authority in the United States?
Oh, sure, that's easy. I mean, they're doing it, aren't they? They're claiming that great catastrophes will arise. People will die by the millions. There'll be 1 billion climate refugees, according to Al Gore. These terrible things, we have to address it. The nation must do something to stop catastrophic man-made warming. And if we don't, and so they're using this notion to drive these otherwise what you would call unconstitutional acts. Well, not otherwise. They are unconstitutional, what they're trying to do. I mean, for crying out loud, just last week, they're trying to banning natural gas stoves, natural gas in homes. They want to restrict your freedoms. They want no one to drive an internal combustion engine. They want everyone to drive electric vehicles. So they're mandating and reducing your options of what you drive, how you heat your home, how you cool your home, how much water you can use to flush the toilet, how much water comes out of your shower. And these are all things that are restricting our freedoms, aren't they? And they'll continue to do more and more and more. And they're using the EPA right now to overregulate. Probably the best thing that Donald Trump did, when I talk about energy in the United States and oil and gas production, Donald Trump didn't really directly do anything to make us energy independent. What he did, he got out of the way. He got out of the way. And he said, let's free up America. Let's stop these stupid regulations and let's free up American entrepreneurs in the energy sector to do what they do best. So that was kudos to Donald Trump for that. And now Biden in 2 years has just thrown handfuls of sand into the gearbox to slow down American energy sector and American energy development. It's just horrible. And it's what he's done is going to take a long time to counteract, because it's easy to make things go awry and to stop things, but it's a lot harder to get them started back up.
Any comment about the windmills killing bald eagles?
Oh, I just looked yesterday. The United States Fish and Wildlife Service, they have a bag limit, a take limit, they call it. 15,000 bald eagles a year can be taken across the United States. By taken, I mean killed. And these things, the other thing we have, and it's these large raptors, bats by the tens and hundreds of thousands, and what no one talks about are just probably, possibly billions of insects killed by every year.
The other bad thing we have
in terms of wind turbines are these new offshore, huge offshore wind farms that are going up along the eastern seaboard, right in the path of the right whale. And it's the right whale, extremely endangered species. The other thing we look at is there have been some 120 whales. They call it an unprecedented taking of whales that have been washing up on the shore. It started in 2016 at the same time they started the surveying operations for these offshore farms. So they're towing streamers behind ships, banging away at the sea bottom with sonar to map the seabeds. And of course, that disorients the whales, can sometimes harm them. It's very, very, it's the only thing we can point at as to why so many whales are dying in unprecedented numbers, just as they started these survey operations.
So what's happening is, in the name of trying to fight for the environment by having such technologies as wind turbines, in reality, it's actually hurting a lot of animals and so forth. It's hurting the environment. We have about 1 minute left. It seems like there's a lot of craziness in the name of trying to fight climate change.
Oh, yeah, and it's getting worse. I mean, you look at the unhinged rants that Al Gore and John Kerry had last week. Greta Thunberg was interviewed, and she just giggled and laughed. She, we're taking advice on how to destroy our nation from an uneducated 20-year-old young lady. No, thank you. Let's listen to the scientists like we have here at the CO2 Coalition. And we're actually doing something, too, to fight back against the state of education with our new CO2 Learning Center that we'll be rolling out in the next 30 days. We've got some great videos at YouTube, CO2 Learning Center YouTube. I encourage you to, if you've got children, have them learn science without the climate alarm. So it's CO2 Learning Center YouTube.
All right, we're basically out of time. Thanks so much for all you do, and I appreciate that. It's like the whole thing is all based on faulty premises in the first place. But people can read more at your website, inconvenientfacts.xyz. Thank you, Greg. All the best.
Thank you.